this evening. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the breath of life, Lord, and the soul, Lord God, that you've allowed and lent to us, Lord, during this time, Father, and the fact that when we go on into this world, Lord, into this life, Lord, and the time that we're here, the Father, that it's about you and about your purposes, Lord, because you've woken us up, Father, by your grace. You've reached out to us, Lord, by your Spirit, and you've made known, Lord, your life and your truth unto us. And so we thank you for that this evening, Father. And Lord, we come to you, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. Lord, you know there's a lot going on, Father. There's a lot of distractions around us. There's a lot of things that are coming our way. But Father, right now, we just still ourselves, Lord, before your Holy Spirit. Father, we still ourselves, Lord, before you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we ask you, Father, for your ways. We ask you, Lord God, for your truth. We ask you for your life. Lord God, I acknowledge this evening, Father, that there's nothing in me, Lord God, except your Spirit that's good, Father. There's nothing in me, Lord, and in this flesh that's good except your Spirit, Lord, that resides in this temple, Father. And so right now, Lord, accordingly, Father, we just yield, and I yield especially, Father, to the work of your Spirit, Lord, in this vessel and in this place. Lord, we pray, Father, that you would have your way in this time, Lord, that your Spirit would refresh us, Lord, that you would strengthen us, Father. Lord, that you would lead us in the path that we should go, Father. And I pray, Lord, that every word that's spoken here, Father, would glorify you, Lord, would edify and strengthen your body, Father. And Lord, we just pray, Father, that your kingdom would come and your will would be done. We leave every care outside. We leave every concern on the side, Father. And we just bind every demonic influence and every hindering spirit, Father, and we cast out and we pray, Lord, the free flow of your Spirit in this place, and we move forward, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes, in all things we commit them unto the Lord, and we do them in Jesus' name. You know, there's this sometimes when people talk about doing something, you know, they say, okay, even they add it on the end of a prayer, and they're like, okay, in Jesus' name this, and in Jesus' name that, and in Jesus' name this. Kind of like a little rubber stamp that they stick at the end of whatever, just to like validate it. And it doesn't work like that. What it is actually, when you pray in Jesus' name, it's actually a positional thing, where you literally are, Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of your faith. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. So you've literally, and even with Jesus' prayer in John 17, where he said, you know, actually, let's look at that really quick. John 17. John 17, where he says in verse 21, that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So literally, when you are in Christ, when you're in the Father, when you're in God, when there is no more separation between you and Him, and you fuse with Him, and you reside, and in Him you live and move and have your being, like Scripture says, that's when you're praying in the name of Jesus. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the difference is you're spiritually, you're in a position, in a spiritual position where you're praying in Jesus' name, as compared to somebody using Jesus' name to try to validate something. Does that, so like, you know, the seven sons of Sceva and all those guys that were trying to cast out demons in the book of Acts, and how they're using Jesus' name, you know, to try to cast out demons and all this. And it was having some power, actually, for a season of time, until one day the demon just decided to, you know, mess with them and said, okay, Paul, I know. Because they said, you know, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, we command you to come out. That's what they were doing. And at one point, you know, the demon just one day just said, okay, Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know, but who are you? And you know, basically they weren't in Christ, and so just decided to, all right, you know, call them. And they, you know, and then they got beat up, all of them, and then they ran out of the house naked and bleeding, and the name of Christ was held in high honor. But ultimately, when we pray in Jesus' name, you're praying from a spiritual position of being one in Him. And so, and then when you pray in Jesus' name, it's like you're praying in a place where your will and His will is being fused together, and you're also, so there's incredible power when you pray in Jesus' name. So, just something to for sure to be aware of, because too, again, like, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier how, you know, situational ethics and how people are like, you know, what about this and what about this. Well, the true you is revealed in the realm of spirit. So in the realm of spirit, when people are in the dimension of spirit, they can see where others are coming from in the dimension of spirit. So that's why too, you know, when that's why, okay, God, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So He sees straight through the outward appearance of somebody and right to the core of who they are spiritually. And likewise, too, demonic forces look for spiritual hooks they can find in a person. So when a person, for example, has holes in their life that they've allowed for by their free will, so say, a person has certain addictions or weaknesses in the flesh, or is engaged in sexual immorality, or, you know, you go through different things. Each one of those will kind of, it's like a little bit of an open door. Some of them, you know, already make bigger doors. And then what happens is demonic forces say, oh, wow, here's a spot. And then they, you know, they grab onto that and they latch onto that, and then they try to work their way into a person's life like that. So that's why too, it's like, you know, people can look on a surface level like they're fine, you know, or they can look on a surface level like, oh, they got the world by the tail. But on a spiritual level, they're being tormented, or they're opening themselves up because of willful decisions. And as time goes on, you see their lives continue to unravel and continue to have issues. And so the best thing that you can do, and the best thing anyone can do when they come to the Father, is you also come in a place of, Lord, your will be done. Basically, whatever you say goes. And when you show me, when you teach me, when you reveal something to me, give me the will and the heart to obey, so that if you do that, what happens is then you'll make it. Because what he'll gradually, and he's very gentle with us, because he cares about us. And so it's like sometimes you see these massive changes in some people very, very quickly, but I've seen many, many times that he gradually works with a person. And so he will gradually work something out of their life. He'll gradually, and he gently, if they will obey him and will obey the voice of his spirit, he'll just one thing at a time be like, okay, you know, now this has got to go. You know, this has been there for a while. Now you're walking with me. You're walking closer and closer to me. And as you're doing that, all right, now my spirit will show you and reveal something to you that, I'll take you as you are, but I would like to see this out of your life, because it's not helping you at all in your walk with me. It's only a hindrance to you. And I want you to have the abundant life that I came that you might have in John 10. And so because of that, you know, here, this is something, now I'm going to expose it to the light. And as I expose it to the light, and now you see what the effect is on your own life, then just obey the voice of my spirit, and I'll empower you to let that thing go or to bring that out. And so it's a process, because see too, this is why too, like for me, I don't do like a real heavy with people that, you know, would come to me and be like, you know, Govinda, what should I do? And like, I don't do like a really heavy, I don't give them like a big list of do's and don'ts. You know, I mean, there's some things you can give as practical advice, but I leave as much room as possible for the Spirit of God to work with a person. Because that's the same way it works with me. Is that like, because I love him.
And what he shows you not to do is not the same thing that he shows somebody else.
Because in part too, other people, I and other people will have different areas of weaknesses and different areas where and also we're made differently. So see, one thing about me, so for example, the way that I'm made, I know that I have particular areas where just like, okay, that is probably off limits for me, just because of the way that I'm made. And just because of, you know, my own, so it's like, so it's not that, if there's not going to be no benefit to me spiritually to be there or to do that or to go there. But there's other stuff too that like for me is not a struggle at all, whereas somebody else, it would be. So because of that, it's like, you know, sometimes I'm aware of that, and if I know that somebody has a certain issue with something, sure, I should try to maybe, out of courtesy for my brother or my sister, be cautious about that. But yeah, by and large, when it comes to just your personal walk with the Father, He'll show you. And when He shows you, you just obey. And so it's like, so one thing I know that's happened with me is like, there's been a process where He'll just gradually reveal certain things, you know, and some stuff like I wasn't ready to deal with 3 years ago. But now as I keep walking with Him, now it's like He reveals it now because, okay, you know, now it's a good time to deal with this. Here's a good window of opportunity to deal with this. And see, ultimately too, you see that God is restoring His creation. He's restoring us, the children of God, the sons and the daughters of the living God. He's making us and transforming us into His image. And it's not, and it's an image that's founded in the dimension of spirit, not in the natural. Now you see natural manifestations because that which is spirit inevitably affects your flesh. But it's something that happens on the dimension of spirit. So God is spiritually molding and shaping and working with us to transform us into truly the ambassadors of Christ, into a reflection of Him, into something that we are the revelation of the sons and daughters of God in the earth. So right now too, one thing that's kind of happening even globally is because the trials that are coming now on the world, you're also seeing people's being tested. And the tests and the trials that come are some people, it's causing like a bit of a divide. Some people shine like stars because their foundation is strong and they really find out, you know, yes, I'm solid and I know the Lord and I'm walking with Him. And other people, you know, collapse like a cheap suit because, you know, they're really, what they're built on was all show, and now when the real problem comes, it reveals where they're coming from and they're empty, there's nothing there. So troubles are not really an issue, you know. I mean, it's an issue in the natural because people, you know, gravitate towards pleasure and avoid pain. You know, that's just, people are made like that. They don't want to feel any discomfort or anything like that. But it's good for you. You know, it is good. I mean, it's like exercise. It's good for you. You know, it's but it's not necessarily comfortable. You know, but if somebody doesn't...
Exercise is your faith in God.
Yeah, well, yeah. See, that's another thing too. Trials and tribulation, they really reveal where you're at with your walk with Him. And and if it's solid, then that foundation is seen to be so. And if it's not, then you realize either, wow, my faith is shaky and I really need to shore this up and I need to turn to the Father so that this is solid. Or people just collapse and say, well, how could God allow this to happen to me? How could I have to deal with this? How could I? And basically my situational ethics. Which, think about it. I mean, you look through Scripture, how many people could have said something like that? Joseph. you know, Daniel, and you know, I mean, just you start going through the list of these guys, and I mean, most people don't make it 13 years trusting God for His promise. Like, I mean, like Joseph, you know, 13 years from the time that God told him and said, you know, He gave him the dream about the sheaves of wheat and how they would bow before him, and about so his brothers and his mother and his father and all this stuff, and God gave him these just visions of who he was as well. And he went then from the point of the vision, from bad to worse, from worse to even worse, you know, I mean, so he goes from being a slave to then being a slave in prison to be, I mean, just, and so each time and all the time he's just seeking to walk with the Father. He's seeking to do right. You know, he gets a chance to mess around with the Potiphar's wife, and he's just like, and you know, she was probably, you know, pretty decent looking woman too. So it's like, but even there, you know, and so she gets rid of everybody in the house and she tries to seduce him, and he's just like, what does he say? He's like, I can't, you know, it's like, he can't sin against God. Because he also realized too, it's like, look, my life is, you know, it's not about whether your husband's home or not. You know, it's about, you know, the Father that sees me at all times, and I can't do this against the Father. And so what happens? Because of his righteousness, he's penalized. Because of his righteousness, he gets tossed into jail, and the story's made up about him and all this. He gets no chance to defend himself, and he's put in jail. And so it's just, and it goes seemingly from bad to worse, worse to worse, and then, but all of it again is God's timing. All of it again is God working out a redemptive plan, not for Joseph even as much as that, but for the entire nation of what would be Israel. You know, I mean, so it's amazing in that had he not gone through all of those different things, had he not faced all of those trials, and had he not held on to the word of the Lord that proved him, you know, and tried him and then came to fruition, had he fallen off along the way, he it would have been, the ramifications would have affected an entire nation of people. See, that's why too, sometimes people don't understand. Your life and your faithfulness to the Father has far more, far-reaching repercussions well past your own life. See, it's the mark of selfishness when somebody thinks about me, my life, and, you know, what I want. You know, and even when they spiritualize it, it's like me and my walk with God and all. I mean, yeah, to a degree, but to the point where you realize it's not about you. You know, now you're dead in Christ, and it's about Him and whatever He says. And He probably is going to make your life something of a lot of value to a lot of other people. And you probably have to go through a lot of heartache and a lot of heartbreak on behalf of others, because that's the process and the path that, you know, will bless others. Will and that's the path too that Christ walked while he was here. You know, people are like, oh God, you know, I love you, I want to follow you. Okay, well, where did he go? You know, while he was here, what did he do? I mean, what was his time here about? And then
I've tried to put myself in that situation where, you know, the apostles willingly, I mean, you know, let crucify the strike down, you know.
Yeah.
I just don't think I would.
But see, here's the thing too, Audrey, is that, okay, one, is that you won't be tempted beyond that what you can withstand. So it's like when you're put in something and when God allows a situation, if you're walking with Him, see, there's two different things. One, if you're going on the path that leads to destruction, you can guarantee to expect that at some point. And when that happens on that path, it's really horrible and you can't take it, and most people fall apart well in advance. Whereas if you're on the path of life, on the path of truth with the Father, then what He will strengthen you and enable you and really not allow you to face anything that you can't go through by the power of His Spirit. So that's why, you know, there's some amazing books out there like Fox's Book of Martyrs. you know, which is like just, I mean, use these stories of these different people that died for their faith and their relationship with Christ. And they would, I mean, it would shake the people to the core who killed them, because how they would see these people dying. And it wasn't like, you know, so many of them, it wasn't like in this horrible, you know, pleading for their lives and all. I mean, no, they embraced death. And many of them died with singing praises to God, and, you know, some of them with smiles on their faces, when there would be, just because they were spiritually in another place. And so it's not something to be afraid of. It's something that, you know, with Christ, you know, when you're in Him, He will be with people. And actually, in the days that we're moving into, in the not so distant future, there will be a lot of people that will, if they're truly walking with Him, will have to die for their faith and their connection with Him. And the world already does that. The world already kills the saints time and again, and works to do that. It's the whole system set up in Babylon, in the system of Babylon, is found all the blood of the saints. So it's the very system, the very world system that kills all of them. So when we face that, you know, it's not, I mean, the whole thing about martyrdom is actually people do it every day. You die daily. That's what Paul said, I die daily. So it's like, it's a daily process. That's what Jesus practiced as well. And so when the time came to lay down His life in an amazing way, He was ready. He'd been practicing. He's ready for the big one. And so it's not something too that it's like, okay, it's basically saying, Lord, Your will be done. And whatever this path, wherever it leads me, wherever You take me, I'll go. And it doesn't, and in the end it doesn't matter, because your life is hid in Him. So if that path leads to, I mean, you already have done it on the level of spirit before it ever happens in the natural. See, that's why too, like with Peter and all those disciples, when you read about the 12 apostles and how they all died, they had already done it in spirit well before they did it in the natural. So when it came in the natural, it was like, yeah, sure, why not? You know, this is not I'm already, to live as Christ and to die as gain. I'm already dead in Him. I already went down and, you know, and gave us, when I was baptized, it was just a natural demonstration of a spiritual reality that took place with me, which was, you know, I died to this world and now I'm alive in Christ. And so it's like, to check out is not a big deal. And to check out in a way that glorifies Him is actually a huge honor. You know, but again, somebody who's seeing it from a natural carnal mind won't be able to see that. So that's why too, you know, with some people that have come and had questions and things like that, if they see things from a natural and a carnal perspective, it'll be very difficult for them to understand, you know, how can somebody be tortured and die a death like that and that be a good thing? Well, okay, if you could see right into the dimension of spirit after death, you'd realize, wow, that's an amazing thing. Because the path and the trajectory that they were on in spirit and where that led them to, and how the testing of that faith and the holding on to their walk and their connection with Him and not yielding that has an eternal reward that anyone that's on that side would never trade for, you know, some momentary discomfort on this side. You see what I mean? It's like if you see things from an eternal perspective, it's like, ah, that's not a big deal at all. But you have to see it past that. See, as long the world seeks to keep you locked up into this life, this reality, what's right here, me and my pathetic little life that I have for these next 20, 30 years, and or 50 years or whatever, you know, 60 years, 80 years, maybe life extension technology, maybe they'll get another 100 out of people. I doubt it. But, yeah. So it's just when you look at this whole thing, you have to allow for whatever the Father would say to you. And see, this is where too sometimes it gets a bit hard, because as well we do have desire. You know, I mean, we do have desire, we do have dreams, we do have hopes. And I mean, we were born with those. We were born
with it in our genetics.
Yeah. So you have certain things that you hope for. You know, it's like, and you know, some things people have hoped for their whole lives. But one thing that we need to do is to lay that hope, to lay those hopes, those dreams before the Father. And so it's kind of like what Jesus did even in the garden. He said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but your will be done. You know, not my will, but thine be done. And so he didn't leave it there. You know, he didn't leave it, let this cup pass from me. He went straight into, you know, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And it's the same thing with us. It's like, okay, Lord, this is a hope. This is a dream. This is, so you bring it, you put it out there. And you say, Lord, this is a desire of mine. I really, really hope for this. I really want this. This is just something that, you know, it's, but let me put this before you. And I pray over it, and I leave it before you, and I pray, Lord, your will be done with this. So if it is something that's from you, great, fantastic. Then your timing, let it just be there. If it's not something from you, then Lord, just please, you know, bring me through this and replace that desire with something that is yours, something that is your choice. Because otherwise, what happens is people will hold on to something, and then that thing becomes their God. That thing becomes their idol. That thing becomes what they want more than His will. You see the difference. And so the world will do enticements throughout. And so it'll offer you all kinds of things to hope that one of those will stick, to the point where, you know, you'll want that more than you want your relationship and your connection with the Father. So, I mean, so for example, you know, common scenario in the world, huge one is relationships. You know, because, like, for example, a lot of people, see, the world, okay, you have to understand the system of the world, again. The system of the world is incredibly efficient in harvesting souls. So the goal of the world system is to harvest the soul of men and women. And it requires your free will consent. It requires you to make the decision to give your soul and choose that system. And it offers you a range of enticements along the way, if you be willing to take one of them for the sake of, you know, so it's like, here, let me give you this trinket in exchange for, you know, your, that which you have, that which is of everlasting value in you. And so, but see, also, it doesn't just want your soul, it also wants your labor. And so, welcome, come. And so, it doesn't just want your soul, it wants your labor. And so it uses your labor to continue to build the very same system that then harvests the souls of the next round. So you see how that works. So it's like, so what it does is the system continues to speed up and accelerate and become more and more wicked as each person gives their allegiance and their soul over to it. So when one person says, okay, you know, I want a ticket to the world, so I'll exchange my soul for a ticket to the world and a chance to run around the track and carry the flag or the banner or the corporate logo or whatever it is, they're given that. And then in turn, in cashing in like that, then the requirement becomes, now, okay, now you have to work in that system to continue to build it so that more and more people are enticed to make the same exchange. So that's why. Just look at the last 20 years. Look at the last 20 years of just even like the formation of information technology. Look at how much more people are tracked, enticed. You can get the most base pornography right in your bedroom, in your dorm room, you know, where before you would need to, I mean, then the same people that would be able to hear this online can in one click from now go to a porno site. You know, and then if somebody's walking in the room, they can just quickly close that and erase their internet history, and you know, but it has a spiritual repercussion, because again, that which happens in spirit has that impact in the dimension of spirit. So really the flesh counts for nothing, that which is in the natural really doesn't count for anything. It's that which is in spirit where the battle is being fought, the battle is being raged for the hearts and the souls and the minds of men, so and women. So right now what you're facing is people that have cashed in and given up their souls for a ticket to the world. Now they and their labor and everything they're doing is now going to continue to build the system to harvest the next round, to make it an increasingly efficient and refined thing that in the end it's to get you right away, you know, and to get you to cash it in for nothing too. So that's why too, when God, when He liberates people, when He brings them out, you have to be willing to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You have to be willing to, when you bow your knee before Him, for when He says, okay, left, you turn left. He says right, you turn right. And because if you don't, you won't be able to navigate through every trap that's set to keep you from ever getting out. So, all right, for example, common scenario in the world system. Okay. So say we said like relationships. All right. So people get married. And then they incur debts. And they have some kids. And then they're trying to pay the expenses. And a lot of them are working jobs that they don't really like. And and now, you know, time to send the kids to college. And you have to save for your retirement. And you see, and how all of these different things that are pressures put on you by what? The world and the world system. And all of a sudden now, your pressure is to conform. So how, in fact, like even when you're a kid, what's the question that people ask you? What do you want to be when you grow up? Basically, how are you going to conform to the system? And then that question is switched with, after you meet somebody at a party or you're out at some social gathering and you shake somebody's hand, they're like, oh, what's your name? Oh, hi, I'm, you know, whoever. And then what's the next question?
Look, right now, most of my friends would come with me. Did you get married?
And I was just going to think they might ask you that one.
But
so that's another line of the same. But the other question would be, so
what are you doing?
What do you do? What do you do exactly? And basically, how do you conform to the world? And so the first one, when you're even as a child, you're being programmed, how do you want to conform? And then later on, it's how are you conforming? How are you fitting? How are you fitting in? Yeah.
I called. It was switched on. Is it this thing switched off now?
Okay. But yeah, we'll look for it. You want to look for it now? You okay?
I realized it in the three window when I was digging through my bag that it's not with me. Where did you call it? It was switched on, I called earlier.
Just now?
What time? As soon as I came here, 7:30, 7:35, 7:40 max.
Okay, we'll go look for it a little bit. so common scenarios that people deal with, right? So one question that you're asked as a child is, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And then when you get older, okay, how are you conforming? So the pressure starts right away to condition people and to get you into this line, into this certain path. So it's just the issue then what people face is, now Christ is setting people free. And so they don't want people to be set free. So what you're given in the world is substitutes. So when people realize, wait a second, this is not it, this is not right, this can't be all that there is. I can't just have to work a 9-to-5 and go there and do a job that I hate to pay debts that I don't know where I got them from. And then, you know, I go back to a bad relationship to my kids hate me. And all this, like, there's got to be more than that. And so they realize too that they are spiritual beings. And so then what happens is then they start looking, and perfect timing, now the world system and the world religious system, again, because you go back to the series on the world, that's just another manifestation of the same spiritual garbage that was set up to harness. So people start looking and they're like, okay, I'll go find religion. Well, it's another arm of the same thing. Go ahead. So it's another arm of the same thing that that seeks to then trap people. So somebody's trying to come out, and so then say, for example, they go to the Colville, or they go to the quote-unquote church, not the real church, but the system church. And in that place, now they get another detour that will wrap them up for 1, 2, 3, 5, 10 years and keep them in the same thing and keep them from ever getting out. And that's why too, right now, globally, what I've seen is the Spirit of God calling people out of quote-unquote the church, taking them out and saying, look, if you're going to meet me, it's Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man come, let's look at that real quick. Revelation 3:20. Revelation 3, verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Okay, if you go through the start of this thing, speaking of the Laodicean church, the church that had no idea of its spiritual condition. And it was materially, it's a materialistic place, and they thought that the materialism was a sign of God's blessing. And Jesus isn't even allowed inside. And so what happens is that with this group, Jesus is outside. And so, behold, if any man, if any individual hears his voice, they have to go outside to meet him. And when they go outside, because they have to open the door and go out, because he's not, by the will of the mass, allowed in. And so then Jesus said, look, if you come out, I'll come into your heart. So it's like, it's the willingness and the boldness even to step out of the system and to step away from that which you know and that which is comfortable and that which is a trap and a snare, to be willing to follow Christ one-on-one, where he's the shepherd, he leads, he guides, and you listen to his voice for yourself. And then, if you're around others that walk in the Spirit, when they speak, that voice will confirm the same thing that the Spirit of God speaks to you. See, that's why, too, when you read the Scripture, it'll witness to the Spirit of God in you. When you hear somebody speak and speak in connection with the Spirit of God, it'll resonate with the Spirit of God that's in you. When you hear someone read a passage of Scripture or speak a word of truth, it'll speak to the same question that you had 3 days ago and that you started praying about. And then the Father now gives you that answer because you're asking and you're petitioning him for it. So the Father finds a way to get that to you. This is part of your walking dynamic relationship with him. This is very different than the canned program, which is, you know, okay, let's work on it to make our numbers, and how can we get the mass? You see, I mean, like even before I came here, I went to, for a brief moment, I was at this other place that was, you know, a box, you know, the big box. And as, you know, this one guy was praying, it was like I could, because I'm used to the jargon, I'm used to the lingo, I could finish. Every time he started on two words, I could finish the rest of the sentence for him because I've heard that same rote prayer again and again and again and again and again when I was there and I was around that stuff, because it's just a formula that they just throw out, and it's over and again. And it's like, you don't talk to anybody else like that. You know, I mean, and you don't talk to anybody that you know like that. So why is God reserved for the canned conversation? So it's a real thing. It's a real relationship. It's a dynamic, life-giving relationship. Any luck?
I got a call from a number that I don't have saved. You want to check that? I called my phone.
Yeah, try that.
Otherwise, this is...
We will try to find your lost phone. Okay. Okay. So we're going through part four. And keep it simple.
Oh, Dinesh.
First time.
Dinesh. First time. Oh.
Yeah, I know. It's a bummer if you lose your phone, because all your numbers... Do you have them backed up on anything? Computer?
Nothing.
Oh. Mm.
I, the majority of numbers,
like,
for my old phone, I have the numbers here.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Recently,
okay, we'll go look for it. Okay. So, common scenarios. Okay. When one thing that happens too when we're walking with Christ is when somebody comes out of the world, it's a directional shift, and now all of a sudden you're going in that right direction now, and he restores that childlike nature that we used to have. Yeah, and it's really, really cool, because, like, okay, for example, children dream. You know, children have wild, outlandish ideas. There's an innocence there. Like, you know, when you're a kid, you create. You know, you can put a child in a room with a stick and a piece of cardboard, and they'll have an amazing adventure and story that they'll build around a stick and a piece of cardboard. Because why? A child has this nature that's, there's an innocence, there's a creativity there, there's, so when God restores and begins to restore a person's life, he begins to change that nature that you have, even to be more and more childlike, more and more along the lines of a true innocence that's in line with the work of his Spirit. So like when you're a kid, do you ever, like, take couch cushions and make a fort or
mattresses.
Yeah, yeah. I know what happens. Like people get older, and then they get. It's like grow up, you know. And it's like you're expected, you know, very quickly to lose all that. I mean, like all creativity, all fascination, all wonderment, all imagination, and basically just conform. Learn how to do your spreadsheet, and learn how to do your log frame, and learn how to do your reporting, and then, you know, and it's like, but God, there's something I've noticed about people that walk in spirit. There's a really, really amazing childlike nature to them. I mean, they can be 60, 70, 80 years old, and there's like this almost, this innocent, sometimes even slightly mischievous, but like a child. I mean, it really is. And then you go back to the scriptures where Jesus even said, you know, look, unless you become like this child, you know, you can't enter the kingdom of God. You can't receive what God has for you if you're doing it from this nature of, okay, now the Lord, I'm going to figure you out, and you're going to make sense according to my understanding. And now that I've, you know, figured you out, okay, Lord, I will now take you into my heart. And it's like, no, it doesn't work like that. You know, it comes to this point of like even a child when they see their parents, you know, it's just like this absolute abandonment, surrender, love for their family, because they love them. That's all they know. Go ahead. You know, it's interesting, but there's been more and more and more stuff that comes up with around these like messages in these times. But I know it's important because too, like, you know, the other day, just people call me even from overseas, and just like, you know, they're listening to these and they receive. It's pretty amazing, the Spirit of God, how He works and connects with people. But one thing that happens, see, the world, it wants you to check out, basically. It wants your soul, and then when it gets your consent, then now it has legal access to you because of that. And then, okay, your soul out, demonic spirit in, and then suck you dry. And then once that's been done and complete, then, you know, on to the next one. Now your kids, now your grandkids, now the next round, the next batch. And so if somebody's about to get out from that system, then it's like, okay, no. And then all their resources go towards keeping that person in. So within the lines of, as God begins to restore a person, so He wakes somebody up, He draws them unto Himself. This is a very amazing night.
Fashionably late.
Come.
I had to pick him up because popped. I called him, and then he was at home because he couldn't come in his car. His license had
license.
No problem. Okay.
These celebrities make this huge entrance. We have to take notice of them.
Okay. No problem. So, let's stop for just a second. Lord, just with everything going on right now, Father, we just leave it all at your feet, and we just pray, Lord, that you would just take every worry, every concern, every care, Father, and Lord, that you would just take full control over each and every one of them, Father, and we just bind every demonic attack and every spirit, Lord, that would seek to bring confusion, Lord, worry, and just discontentment, Lord, to anyone's heart, Father. Lord, we just pray, Lord God, that you would just release your spirit, Father, and that we would know, Lord, that in all things you're in control. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So with the walk in Christ, one thing that He does is that as you begin to walk in that direction with Him, there's a restoration process that takes place. And with the restoration process, there's also a restoring of your true self. And your true self has an incredible childlike nature. And it's creative. You dream. You come up with wild, outlandish ideas. And one thing that happens, though, with maturity in the natural is the creativity that God allows you to have gets coupled then with the resource and the ability to create and to work towards that with the help of His Spirit. So it goes from, and see, that's why the world works so hard to sever the two. To take your talent, to take your ability, and to use it for its purposes, and to sever you from your vision, from your dream, from your childlike state, so that you never create anything in line with the Spirit of God, and that anything that you do would be to continue to build the system of the world that destroys the next lot of people that come through. So they want you to, so you become incredibly dangerous. One person walking in spirit with the Spirit of God completely alters the entire landscape, can completely change the entire equation. One person walking, I mean, Elijah, Spirit, the scriptures say that Elijah was a man just like us. So, I mean, he was just like us, but he walked in the Spirit and with the Spirit of God. And the ramification of walking in the Spirit of God changed a whole nation and went straight up against the demonic powers that were set up in that place and challenged them and showed the strength and the power of the Father, working with one person. You know, now there were others that were in caves, you know, he had reserved for himself, you know, 7,000 that hadn't bowed. But this was the point, man. And so, with us, you have to realize that part of what God will do with you is restore. You know, he's a restoring God. And so, you know, sometimes too, see, the way that the world works is the world will say, you don't deserve that. Or you shouldn't, you don't deserve a second. I mean, because the world doesn't give you second chances. Well, the way the world works is enticement, enticement, enticement. Oops, got you. And now guilt, 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 shame, 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 shame. So it's like, you know, okay, everything's worked towards to get you. And now, you know, moment of weakness, you know, something's screwed up, whatever. And now, okay, now got you. And let's now keep you there, bound, locked into that for the rest of your life. And actually the religious systems of the world are very efficient at that. So how many of you had a church experience where it's like, and sometimes too, it's not even stuff you did, it's stuff that somebody else did, somebody in your family did. You know, it's like, oh yeah, because you're guilt by association. It's like, that's not even you. It's like your long lost uncle that did that, something wherever. And so what happens is the world will seek to keep you bound in that. But with Christ, see, in this level of the Spirit, and this is why, again, you got to always go back to the realm of Spirit. On the cross, when Jesus was on the cross, the sky, the world just, I mean, it just got just dark while He was absorbing the sins of the entire world from all time. Because there is no time in the dimension of spirit. So He was from back to Adam, all the way up through Revelation, every sin that was ever committed, every act of pedophilia, every rape, every murder, everything, He was absorbing that into Himself. And He was taking it all onto Himself at the cross. And so what happens is that when somebody steps into spirit and they step into Christ and He takes that upon Himself and it dies with Him on the cross. And so it's like it's gone, it's dead, it's finished. So that's why when He was there and He's like on the cross, like it is finished. It's because it's done, it's right there. And so somebody can't allow for that with you, then what the heck are they doing trying to teach you? you see what I'm saying? Or what are the? I mean, all it is another trap. Because if somebody will tell you the truth, they'll tell you that, and then they'll allow you to live with that. Because then you realize, wait a second, okay, I'm free. Because all of us, not a one of us, you know, will have. Nobody could make it on their own. That's why we needed a savior. So then the restoration process begins with a person. And so repentance is somebody getting on God's page and plan today. And so, see, this is why too, it's a lot of people that are sold out to the world, why it seems so hard for them, because they realize too that the very system that they've committed themselves to will cut them off. You know, so it's like, oh, you get on God's track, now you're spiritually different, and now you're cut off. And everything that you have in the world, now you lose it. You know, or you have the possibility, the very real possibility of losing it. Who knows, maybe God will preserve you. But see, that's why too, if somebody's going to walk with Christ, you have to be willing to lose all of that. Whether you do or not is inconsequential. But there has to be a willingness in your heart to say, all of it's gone. So right now, I mean, for me right now, there's so many things going on in my life, but I could walk away from any and all of them tomorrow and I wouldn't lose a moment of sleep, because it's not me. It's Christ that creates an opportunity to do these things, and because He wants us in the world but not of it. And with everything that we do it according to whatever His Spirit leads us into. And if it's there, it's great. If it's not there, fantastic. Whatever it is. And something it's His call. And something I've noticed too, even with me, is like every 2 or 3 years, my life will be so different than what it was like 2 or 3 years before. Because He keeps changing stuff and allowing me to have different experiences and experience different things. And I'm starting to be amazed even now of how stuff that He allowed me to experience 10, 15 years ago will play into what He's got coming up for me even now. It's bizarre. It's, I mean, like on a natural level, no way you could ever do something like that. But on the level of spirit, like for example, like Tony. Like, I took 4 years of Mandarin Chinese when I was in the States. It's really tough for me to remember any of it, but I have some familiarity. A little bit of familiarity, where it's not so... Yeah, so there was some reason that I didn't do Spanish. There was some reason that I didn't do French. There's some reason that... And even there, just that slight familiarity makes a big difference in being able to bridge with somebody that, you know, God's got some plan, some intention, some purpose with right now, who comes from China. So it's like, so even there, God will use whatever it is that you have. When that's why it's so important too, to allow Him to direct what you do and what you learn and what He brings in, because there's some purpose with that. So Moses, all of the wisdom and the learning that he got in Egypt over those first 40 years of his life, God used them on the back 40 years of his life to shepherd the children of Israel, to write the first 5 books of the Bible. To do all of this stuff, God used that background, that experience, all of those things. So Paul, similar. Daniel, similar. Joseph, similar. It's just like, so you start going through, you start looking at these guys. Every one of them, even Peter, he's like, you know, look, I'll make you a fisher of men. It's like he used, so that's why too, don't disdain what you've done. Don't disdain where you've been and what you've worked on. Because if you've allowed for the Spirit of God to direct you in the work that you do, to direct you in that which you do right now, then the ramifications will be, it'll have purpose for the life that you're in. The people that waste it is the people that choose to neglect the Father's command, choose to neglect His direction, and then the result is there is no, it's, you're on the wrong path. So all there's going to have to be is a correction, a course correction. And, you know, it'll be purely His mercy if there is any carryover, but there may or may not be. You know, but you can be assured that if you're walking with the Spirit, if you're doing what He's got for you to do, that there will be a direct correlation between everything that He allows you to experience and learn and the life that He has for you to walk out. And it's an abundant life. So it's this life of challenge and fulfillment. And see, also too, part of it is the perspective that we take even on the things that we go through. So we were talking about that the other night on the phone. It was just like the like approaching life as a challenge rather than, you know, a difficulty. You know, like, so sometimes too, again, scriptures talk about, you know, consider it pure joy when you face trials and tribulations of all kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith builds perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, and hope does not disappoint. So we know that, see, it's the approach that you take to even the situations that you face. So look at it like this, and this is even when I was contemplating it. If you go to a theme park and you get on a roller coaster, is it scary for you?
It's exciting.
Okay, why is it exciting?
Because you don't know what you're
going to
feel.
How you're
going to
feel.
Okay. But if you didn't get on that as a ride,
you wouldn't know.
And if you just all of a sudden woke up and you were like moving at roller coaster speed, then what would you be thinking or experiencing or feeling? You'd be freaked out because you were like, but the reason that, you know, it would be exciting or an adventure is because you realize, hey, I'm on a ride. You know, I'm here, there's a start and there's an end to this thing that I'm in. And it's the same thing even with our lives in this world. You know, okay, you're on the roller coaster right now. You know, so you're on the roller coaster of life, and there'll be ups, there'll be downs, there'll be twists, there'll be turns, and when your life ends and you shift into the eternal dimension, be like, wow, what a ride! That was great! That was fantastic! But rather than, see, here's what the world does. Oh, wait, you're on the roller coaster. Okay, quick, get to your cubicle and sit down and be a good boy and pay your taxes and you see, and then it's like, and be petrified because there's a twist coming up, and when that twist comes, it's gonna shake all the change out of your pocket, and the world distorts the whole thing. This life when you're walking in Christ is an incredible adventure, and there's challenges and there's struggles and there's tears and there's victories and there's an amazing.
And if you didn't feel all that, it could be boring.
And it would be, and it is boring. See, that's the thing too. The world and the world system is actually incredibly boring. Incredibly boring. Even the ones who in the system people think have made it. You know, so in the system now, okay, you've made it. You're somebody. You're now head of some corporation, or you're a superstar on a stage. Those people are incredibly boring. I've spent time with plenty of them, and it's like they're very, very boring people. The people that are the ones that have substance, that have life, that have anything to them at all, are those that walk with the Spirit of God, those that walk in truth, those that have that depth. The deep calls out to deep. So the depth of the Spirit of God in your life and in your soul calls out to the depth of the Spirit of God in that other person. And those are the people where it's like, and so whether they're, you know, head of some corporation or a superstar or a janitor or a beggar, I've had some amazing conversations with people that, you know, just on the street. You know, and there, people would call, they're not begging, they're people that are of low means, but they know Christ, and they're like, you know, look, God provides for me, He takes care of me, and you can have a talk on the dimension of spirit with somebody like that too. That would be far more rewarding, far more fulfilling than some guy that his whole life is, you know, what color tie am I going to pick out for today? So it's just to accept the fact that, and realize that you're on the ride. You know, so you might have woke up and the roller coaster was already moving, but realize you're on the ride right now. And it will end. And when it ends, though, the thing is that, here's the catcher. When it ends, you want to be in possession of your soul. You don't want to have cashed in your soul in exchange for the perception of a seatbelt for the back half of the ride, just to find out that at the close of it now, in exchange for that perceived seatbelt, which really gave you no safety, now it costed you your eternal soul. Realize that God's got you. His hand is there on you. He will keep you for the whole duration of the whole thing. And when it's done, if you walk this thing out with Him, that you go on from this into another amazing adventure with Him. You go on to the next ride with Him. Whereas people that have, they choose to ignore what He's got for them, and they believe that this whole thing too is real, and it's not. I mean, think how stupid it is actually if you realize that this life is all that there is, and yet you invest your whole life in trying to make it here, and you pass on. So it's the key thing is to bow your knee before the Father. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. Jesus, you be Lord of my life, Lord of this heart. You lead and direct and guide, and whatever you say goes. Give me a will and a heart to obey. Whatever you say, that's what I want, because if I go in that line, I know I'll walk with you in your life. From that place, just go with it. And whatever He says, whatever He directs, move forward with that. And just, you go with that each and every day. And if you go on that path, that's, you trust Him. See, that's also too, the walk of faith is a walk of trust. So we realize too that each step we take with Him, one step leads to the next, one step leads to the next. And each time you take a step, you realize that God is faithful. He's there. He takes care of you. His provision is there. His direction is there. And you see how everything's working together. And it's amazing. I'm actually addicted now to the way that God works. It would be so boring for me to try to do it any other way. Because I realize now how he's already gone ahead of me, how He sets certain things up, and so for me it's like this really cool adventure where I can't give you a 5-year plan, but I can have some things that He paints a vision in my heart and in my mind from that childlike nature He continues to restore in me.
Every step that He's taken, you come in advance. I mean, He's always had a plan, you know,
when you look back. He's His plan throughout. That's the thing that's so cool too. When you've been walking in spirit and you look back, you can see, and even when people weren't, if you look back, you can still see His hand protecting you and still see His intervention, and time and again, because He loved you, how He spared you from 1,000 things that could have totally destroyed you. And even there you say, thank you, God. Thank you so, so much. And it's all the more reason to this day say, Lord, whatever you say goes. Just help me to do that. So, okay, we'll stop there.